Hello and welcome to this recording of Chris Payne from Life Tools talking with Dr. Daniel Kirsch, inventor of the AlphaStim technology. Chris asked Dan how he got started in the bioelectricity field.
I have a rather eclectic background. Actually, I started out in college as a philosophy major, and I had an interest in Oriental philosophy, which led me to an interest in acupuncture, which I thought was very interesting because it was actually a practical system of philosophy, whereas before that I hadn't really thought of too many practical applications of the pursuit of knowledge. And I was quite intrigued with the Chinese paradigm and how it all fit together so nicely. And eventually I realized that when the Chinese talk about yin and yang, they're talking about positive and negative, and qi energy is really a form of electricity or bioelectricity. And so I continue to study quite a few things. In fact, I think I've studied all systems of healthcare. The obvious ones, medicine, acupuncture I mentioned, and chiropractic and naturopathy, and Ayurvedic medicine, Indian medicine. And I found that a common denominator in all, including homeopathy, in fact, is that they all revolve around biophysics, with the exception of Western medicine, or what we call allopathic medicine, which is drug-based. But even in grade school, we learned that the compounds that make up drugs or other chemicals can be broken down into molecules, elements, atoms, and subatomic particles.
Sure.
And what we're working with is electrons, which are subatomic particles. The problem is that nobody's ever seen an electron, and so it's a little more elusive concept. In the latter half of the 20th century, we have created an entire world out of our knowledge of physics, with the exception of therapeutic medicine. Diagnostic medicine has gone on to physics as the master science. In a way, that's sad, because a lot of doctors have lost their diagnostic ability, relying too much on tests.
Yes.
Whereas in therapy, we still rely on very crude chemical or mechanical surgical means of repair, whereas we can do a lot more by just easing the body into healing itself. Here in the United States, we have a war on all diseases. We have a war on AIDS, a war on cancer, a war on heart disease, a war on everything. Well, we don't need to attack the body. We need to realize that our diseases are part of us, and that the greatest doctor is the body, and sometimes we just need to gently show it the way towards normal function, or what's called homeostasis.
Yes.
But to answer your question about my background, I did look at all these different systems and study the different systems of healing, and went to quite a few different schools, including natural health schools like naturopathic and chiropractic. I ended up with a PhD in neurobiology, which is brain science, and then I went on to specialize, primarily due to regulatory restrictions on this technology. I went to specialize in pain control. And I have a great deal of clinical experience working with patients. I was director of the Center for Pain and Stress at Columbia in New York. And I worked there with a psychiatrist by the name of Kenneth Greenspan in the Department of Psychiatry. And I worked with a sports medicine physician, Dr. Carlos Ulis in Los Angeles, where we worked on a lot of Olympic athletes and some professional teams. And I was primarily a sports medicine and pain and rehabilitation practice, and I've had a few other practices, and so I have extensive clinical experience, and working on fellowship of the American Institute of Stress. We'll see if I achieve that currently, but I've always considered myself a pain and stress specialist, although really I think of the AlphaStim as sort of a whole system of medicine, because depending on how you apply it, I believe biophysics controls everything in the body, and,
yes,
and therefore you can do quite a bit more with it than we market the product for. And we often get reports of favorable side effects. For example, some of the earliest research was done at government hospitals in the United States for severe pain patients, for terminal cancer patients with severe pain. and we found a side effect that their radiation therapy side effects, the radiation therapy burns, and these were head and neck cancer patients, so dry mouth, associated conditions like that would all clear up. And so we have a few studies that have been done on that at MD Anderson Hospital, which is part of the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston, and world-renowned cancer institute, and the Veterans Administration Hospital, government hospital in Cleveland. And recently a study is being done, nearing completion, at Walter Reed Army Hospital, which is where the president goes when he's sick, in Washington. And that study is being spearheaded by Colonel Michael Singer, again on radiation therapy, sequelae, side effects. So my background is diverse in alternative or complementary healthcare, in conventional healthcare also, but I'm less interested in that because I don't find it very effective. I have some personal experience also when I was in the, Kuwait after the war, training 400 doctors on how to do stress management. They showed me around. I was a VIP, and I did probably the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life, which is get my picture taken in a chemical weapons truck and that they captured from Iraq. And I was quite sick with a type of chronic fatigue after that. And of course, conventional medicine isn't helpful there. So I learned about it from the other side. And also, when they said my mother had 2 months to live from cancer at Cornell Medical Center in New York, which is a well-reputed place, I took her to Bonn, Germany, and had a different type of care. She, after 3.5 months there, she came out in full remission.
Wow.
And eventually died back here in the United States because we couldn't keep taking her back to Europe. But I've learned a lot, and basically my career and the work that's being done with the Alpha Stim has been, in a large part, dealing with medical failures.
Right.
So,
yes.
But the Alpha Stim distills down the basics of the common denominator in all systems of healing, which is that physics rules the body, and the waveform of the Alpha Stim attempts to get as close to bioelectricity or naturally occurring biophysics as possible, and to just augment it as like you would charge up a car battery.
Right.
We're charging up the person, and then the person functions again, just like charging up a battery.
Wow. So effectively what you're saying, the Alpha Stim is a small box. Can you describe the Alpha Stim and how it connects up?
Yes, it's a small box about the size of a television remote control or box of cigarettes. And it hooks up in one of three ways. One would be with clips that go onto your earlobes. And this is for basic stress or anxiety application. It's used for anxiety, depression, and insomnia primarily. It's also very helpful in getting people off drugs, whether they're illicit drugs or prescription drugs. In addition, we have probes that are used at various parts of the body for 10 seconds a spot. And you'll do this for about a total of 1 or 2 minutes to treat a knee or a back or headache or something like that. And then we have self-adhesive electrodes that we use primarily for one of two things. To promote healing, they need to be used at a very low current for 1 hour at a time or more. This would be helpful in accelerating the healing or causing the healing of a fracture. It can heal a fracture in half the time, or in cases of what's called non-union fractures, that they don't heal at all,
yeah,
where they used to remove a limb as the treatment of choice. It's now acceptable to use this type of electricity to heal that.
Wow.
And also, the pads are helpful, those self-adhesive pads are helpful in cases where the probes are difficult to use, but they need to be left on longer than the probes. So the probes are the best way because it's also useful to move the probes around. The way it works is it's on a 10-second timer. At the end of 10 seconds, it beeps.
Yeah.
It gives you 2 seconds to move it on to the next location,
yeah,
for a total of a minute or two. And I think that one of my famous lines is it's better to be in the right place for 10 seconds than the wrong place for 10 hours.
Yeah.
It's the biggest variable is where you treat. So if you just stick electrodes in one place and leave it there, it may not work. You have to move around.
If I had a pain in my knee, from running or something like that, I'm using two probes.
Correct.
And then where do I position them?
You'll put the probes beyond your knee, like the inside of your ankle, up to all the way up to your hip, for example.
Right.
And then you'll do another line from the back to the front of your leg beyond the knee, and then you'll come in closer around the knee, working in small X's, little different angular positions to get different shots through the knee.
So what you're saying is it's like an invisible line.
There's a line between the two. Yes, you should picture a line in your mind between the two electrodes.
Or it goes through the pain.
Exactly. It goes right through, not necessarily the pain, but where the problem is.
Where the problem is.
If it's known.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, it's not known. And then you just chase it around. Also, the pain might move. So if you have a neck pain, it could turn into a headache or vice versa.
Right.
And then you just keep treating until it's gone. And again, it's a very, very quick process. And it's always good to follow it up with CES, or the ear clip application, which stands for cranial electrotherapy stimulation. Because even if you don't think you have stress, everyone who has pain has anxiety. There's no such thing as pain without anxiety, first of all. But second of all, it's very important to treat the brain. The brain is the central processing unit of our nervous system. And so even if the foot hurts, it's important to treat the brain. That's the most basic reason why pain therapy fails, regardless of whether you're treating with physical therapy or surgery or anything. The brain is the most important thing. We know now that anti-anxiety or antidepressive drugs are better for long-term management of pain than anti-pain drugs.
Right.
So one will use Prozac or Valium, for example, rather than codeine to treat a chronic pain patient. And the person may still have pain, but not care as much. The problem with those drugs, of course, is they have terrible side effects. They're addictive, and they don't leave the mind clear to function.
Yeah, that's true.
So the alpha stim has the added benefit of improving mental performance.
Right, so you're saying, because many of our customers won't have any particular pain that's like a backache or a knee ache, but what they'll have is at certain times a sense of anxiety, or they'll feel the mind, the head is foggy, and they'll feel stressed, or they might feel a bit depressed, or they might not be able to sleep very well. So this is what you're saying that CES will do.
Yes, CES is my favorite part of the alpha stim, and it's the easiest to use. You just put the clips on your earlobes, you wet them with salt water, you put them on your earlobes, and then you leave them in place for generally 20 minutes. People will generally experience the feeling where they're heavier or lighter.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll feel heavier and then lighter. Sometimes they'll feel lighter initially. If they feel heavy at the end of 20 minutes, which is rare, they need more time.
Right.
Sometimes they need up to a full hour, but that's rare. Most people actually can achieve a full effect within 10 minutes.
Well, I put my accountant on recently, and he said, oh, he said, it's like there's a tingling, like champagne bubbles. And he said it gives his head a lightness, like drinking half a glass of champagne.
Oh, yes, I think I have the record for a radio interview in Los Angeles. When I lived there, I was interviewed for 4 hours. It was supposed to be 1 half hour, but then she asked if I mind answering some phone calls.
Yes.
And then asked me to stay on, and we kept getting these phone calls. So it was a 4-hour interview, and it one of the things that began was we put the engineer at the radio station on, and after a little while he said, I feel like I've had a glass of wine, and a little bit later he said, you know, it feels like 2 glasses of wine, and a little bit after that he said, I think it was more like a couple of scotches. And so, but it doesn't, once the electrodes are off, once the treatment's done, that feeling goes away very quickly.
Right.
You don't feel inebriated anymore.
No.
You now feel very clear. Your head becomes very clear and focused. And we've shown that it improves memory and learning. We have some research
have you
on
really?
That.
Yes. So what's happened there then?
Well, we did a study in New York where we took college students, incoming college students who couldn't type, believe it or not, and we
put them through four trials on a computer typing program, which was really a game that taught you how to type.
Yes.
And the first two was before stimulation. And then half the group got stimulation in a double-blind manner, which means that the investigator, the researcher, didn't know whether they were getting it or not.
So you're saying they almost had probes on them or ear tips, but
they had ear close, but
they weren't doing anything.
Well, half of them didn't work and half of them did. Yeah. And nobody knew which was which. Yeah. And so that's called the double-blind study.
Yeah.
And so the ones who got the stimulation all did better throughout their four games. And the ones who didn't get the stimulation had an average decrease of 30% over their four games. They actually, their score went down, and it measured speed and accuracy.
Is that because it got bored?
We thought it was inattention and fatigue factors.
Yes.
The entire study took 35 minutes, and the college students were paid $5 to participate.
Wow.
So they weren't that interested in the whole thing. We were very, very surprised that the ones that didn't get the stimulation, called the placebo group, we were very surprised that their performance was decreased over the four trials, because usually you think if you do something four times, it would get better. But not if you're getting paid $5 for a half hour of your time.
Yes.
So that was a surprise finding. But we were happy to learn that the alpha stim did improve them in every case. Now, since then, I've had a number of normal, what we call well-normal human subjects. No, just regular people who have found it most effective in test taking. For example, I know of two people studying for what evidently is a difficult test for court reporting, a stenographer. And both of them took the test, I think one three times, the other one four times, and failed it. And then both of them used the alpha stim and then passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time after they started using the alpha stim. And this has interested a Dr. Robert Story, who's a college professor in New York, and he wants to give half of his class the alpha stim to use before the midterm and the other half before the final.
Yes.
And see how that might affect their scores. So that would be an exciting study. But most of the research has been done on patients,
yeah,
not normal people. The normal people, I mean, I like to consider myself somewhat normal, and I use it three times a week to control and prevent stress.
Yes.
And I think that's a good regime. Just put it on 20 minutes while you're watching TV or reading or relaxing.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. So that's the best thing to do, to just keep yourself on an even keel. But most of the research has been done on more severe subjects. Like, we've done studies on pedophiles, sex offenders. These people are very stressed out, and in fact, the researcher who specializes in treating these people said that basically the molestation of a child is an attempt to self-medicate anxiety. They're just kind of going nuts with anxiety,
mm-hmm,
and this is a way to let it out, a sick way, obviously, but
yes,
nevertheless, a way. And he found, did two studies. The original one showed that it worked in a single session. And we have a number of these single session studies that shows it works right away.
What do you mean it works right away?
I mean it controls anxiety, it relaxes the subject, and we have proven that in a number of ways. For example, psychometric tests,
right,
which we call pen and paper tests.
Pen and paper tests.
Asking questions before and before and after.
Right.
And these are acceptable medical tests. In addition, we have taken a lot of physiological parameters, like EEG readings, brainwave readings,
right,
EMG muscle tension, heart rate, pulse, respiration, and peripheral temperature, and everything improved, all of these things. And we've also shown that they last. One treatment is still valid a week later, and sometimes many weeks later. And so we have these studies, and we have them on some very severe cases. For example, there's a study on phobics. And this was an interesting study. This was also, this was done, I can't remember the number of people, it's a significant number of people. But we know, it's well established that the thought is worse than the actual circumstance.
Yes.
We say there is nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah.
Well, the impending anxiety about something that's going to happen is worse than it actually happening. And we often say, oh, that wasn't that bad and all that. Well, that's well established in psychiatry. And so we did a study where we asked phobics, many of whom were on medication for, I think the average time they were phobic was 17 years. So these were long-term chronic cases.
Okay.
And we've asked these people to imagine their worst fear and rate it.
Yes.
On a 1 to 7 scale. And then afterwards, they were treated with the AlphaStim CES, and then afterwards, they would re-rate their anxiety. Well, 4 of them had to be thrown out of the study because they said 0, and the scale was 1 to 7. And beyond that, the results were phenomenal, and they've always been. We've done a survey of physicians who use it on their patients.
Yes.
This is the physicians, not the patients, filling it out. And we had 207 cases reported anxiety. And overall success rate, this means better than 25% improvement, was 97.5%.
That's for everything, all.
That's for anxiety.
That's for anxiety.
Well, actually, we also did the same in stress. We had 162 individual patient reports and also had a 97.5%, 25% or better results. In depression, 97%. In insomnia, inability to sleep, that was lower. That went down to 95%. Pain, 97% results. Headache, 97% results. And muscle tension, 99% results.
Wow.
This shocked us. This survey was done as part of a FDA requirement. And
so what's the FDA?
United States Food and Drug Administration, that's the regulatory agency.
So they regulate drugs and devices.
Correct.
And they wanted to approve AlphaStim, so they asked you to do these statistics.
Well, actually, I think they wanted to disapprove it, but they had little choice given the kind of data we were able to.
All the evidence we're getting, yes.
Yeah, we have quite a few studies. I compiled all of the research in CES, and there was, over the last 40 years or so, in English language literature,
yeah,
which included one study from France and a few others from elsewhere, but still English language, I found 103 human studies and 18 animal studies. And Harvard University did a meta-analysis on CES, which is a scientific reorganization of a number of studies put together into one study, and
yeah,
then it's a mathematical analysis.
Right.
And they determined it was safe and effective for anxiety at Harvard University School of Public Health.
Great.
And that was published last year. And in the Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease. So really, the results are quite astounding. One of the things that I like about CES the most is treating children with attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity.
Uh-huh.
We have here in the town of Mineral Wells about 12 kids that are off Ritalin, off all drugs for that.
As a result of using the AlphaStim?
Just using the AlphaStim. And after a while, a period of a few months, they're off the AlphaStim, and then they just use it as needed.
Wow.
But basically, I hate Ritalin. It has 111 side effects.
Does it really?
It does. And we give it to 2-year-olds. We take it off them when they're about 9 or 10 years old, and we tell them, okay, Johnny, now be a good boy and just say no to drugs. Well, the kid says, I've been on drugs since I was 2. Are you kidding me? Where do I get a fix?
Yeah.
So we're creating. From a common sense point of view, it's obvious, but there is some preliminary findings already out there in the literature that says we are creating drug addicts out of these children.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I recognize that hyperactivity and attention deficit is a serious problem. And so I believe the AlphaStim offers the best solution to that problem because the child can actually become normal again.
Yes, certainly Ritalin. I spoke to my friends a year or so ago and very few had heard of Ritalin. Whereas now I speak to my friends with kids and, you know, they say, oh yeah, we know about Ritalin and we know kids that are on it, and it's now going to be quite a substantial proportion of children are being put on it.
Well, around here, you get more money for a kid in public school, which is not the English term for public school.
Right.
Here it means the one that everybody goes to,
yeah,
paid for by the state and the federal government. your public schools are our private schools, go figure. But in our municipal school system, we have children who are quickly diagnosed as having these problems because the school gets more money for the problem child. So we have as much as 25%